in this place. We thank you for your presence, and we ask that you would bless the word. We pray that you would anoint these lips, and that the very word would go out and touch each heart, that we would never fear again. Bless us now to this end, in Jesus' name, amen. Message for this morning, heart failure, heart failure. A story is told of a haunted house in England. It was so frightening that no one was able to spend the night there. So one individual didn't believe it, and so he wanted to prove otherwise. So he wagered some funds and decided that he would remain in that place all night. At dusk, he entered this haunted house. But he went in with a weapon. He went to bed that night and soon fell asleep. And about 2 a.m, he was awakened by a faint scratching sound that came from the foot of the bed. And in the pale light, he saw a white, ghastly, he thought it was a hand, trembling back and forth. And in his state of panic, he seized his revolver, aimed, pulled the trigger, and he blew off his big toe. And that story illustrates how we can be affected by fear, how it affects our thinking and our actions. In the past few months, our nation has had a number of things to cause fear. First, it was the spinach and E. coli. It caused them to take all the spinach off the shelf. A week or so ago, it was lettuce with E. coli. And so they took all the packaged lettuce off the shelf. And then who can forget the tragedy of the 5 young girls who were killed in Pennsylvania, in Amish country, in a one-room school, no doubt, by a demented milkman. And I wish that our nation could have answered the call of so much fear, but it seems our leading Congress people were too busy on the internet asking 16-year-old boys what state of dress they were in. Lord help us. And now this week, a nation of 23 million people, many of them starving, and their unpredictable, enigmatic leader, Kim Jong-il, and his 1-million-man army decides that he would explode an underground nuclear weapon. And if any of these weapons falls into the hands of terrorists, heaven help us. Now you have something to fear. I'd like to talk about fear. Say the title of my message is Heart Failure. Heart Failure. Fear is defined as a strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. A reason for an alarm, a reason to be anxious and concerned. And even the so-called fearless, there's always something to fear. If it's nothing else than public speaking itself, there's something that we are afraid of. A scientist by the name of John Bowlby did a study on fear as it relates to children. And he listed things that really related to me. Fear comes from things being not familiar to us. Have you ever had a child and you went up to the little baby and they all of a sudden they started crying? It's because you're unfamiliar. Have you ever had an instance where you walked into a room and you didn't expect anyone to be there and someone meets you right there and you suddenly you're startled by that? Fear is a sudden approach, a sudden change of stimulus. And the scientists found out that children many times are afraid of darkness. Some are afraid of animals, unknown objects, and, of course, people that are not familiar. But you know what he found out, which I was a little surprised, but maybe I should not have, and I'm going to ask maybe you to help me with this. He found out that what people fear the most is loneliness. Why do you think that is? Anybody? Why do you think when he found out what people feared the most, that people feared loneliness? Why? Why is that? Dan, have any idea? Why loneliness? Did you hear what Dan said? We don't like to be alone. Anybody add on to that? Why loneliness? We're social. Thank you. Reminds us of death. Don't know God. You must have read the end of my sermon. When you go to the very early part of the Bible, Genesis, in which you're studying Genesis in your Sabbath school, interesting that God says it's not good for man to be what? People need people. Have you ever run into someone who said, I'm going to have church at home by myself? You've heard that. There's no such thing. You can't have church by yourself. You need people. This would not be the same if I was in here preaching by myself. It just wouldn't be the same. People need people. God knew that. And so we fear being alone. I shared in the first service, and I still feel the same. I don't know what I would do if my spouse was no longer with me. I don't know how people endure that when they have a spouse that they've lived with and loved for years and all of a sudden they're taken away. I don't know how they endure that. In fact, and I said this for all the right reasons. I hope my wife didn't take this wrong. I don't know if I could stand. I'd probably be married in 6 months later. I'd probably make a mistake. But I don't think I'd want to be alone. That's if someone would have me. Now, I'm assuming that someone would have me if something happened to my wife. But I would have a very difficult time being alone. And so we don't like feeling separateness. It increases our fear. We don't like alienation. And when people come to church, do you know that's what they're checking out? Will I be alienated at church? Are there cliques in the church? Are there groups I can't get into? That's alienation. People fear that. I pray we never like that. Amen? That's no good. You don't want to ever feel that way, especially in church with people. Don't like separateness. And we fear, you know, we fear people who are different. We fear people who dress different, who look different. It brings on fear. You can have 1,000 people of a particular group or a particular race, And you can know them in a very positive way. But let one person, just one person of the 1,000, do something negative, and then we will transfer that onto the whole group. Y'all don't have to say amen, but it's true. Fear. We fear things we don't understand and we don't know. You say, why are you talking about fear? Because Luke chapter 21, the scripture that was so well read, if you would turn there in your Bibles to Luke the 21st chapter, and the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 21, and starting at verse 25, I'd just like to read that passage for you. I'm not going to exegete the passage. Time will not permit, but I think you'll get the gist. And starting at verse 25 of Luke chapter 21, and the Bible says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." And this is where I've gotten the title of my sermon, "Men's Hearts Failing Them from what, everybody? Fear." There it is. Jesus says that there's coming a time that is going to be so much perplexity and troubles and difficulty that men and women will have heart failure. You think you've seen something when you study the times now. We haven't seen anything yet. There's coming a time when men and women's hearts are going to fail because of the things that's coming upon this earth. What a time Jesus has predicted. Heart failure. What a time. You know, in the month of August, interesting how fear works. In the month of August, a terrorist plot was foiled. There was a plan to destroy numbers of airlines flying over the Atlantic, some say upwards to 10. And I'm so glad that the plot was foiled and they did not pull off this terrorist act. But you know, that's how terrorists work. That's how fear works. They don't even have to do it. Do you know overnight things change? It didn't even happen. And now when you go to the airport, there's a guy with a table there waiting to take your liquids. Am I right? Now, they've changed so if you get, once you get past the security, then you can go buy, you know, a bottle of water. But if you bring one there, it won't go through. That changed overnight and not a plane went down. That's how fear works. That's how terrorists work. They say British Airways canceled 1,100 flights. And they said they lost upwards of $100 million. Just on the fact that something could have happened. Fear. Fear is interesting. You know, in fear, the day after September 11th, this is what Osama bin Laden said. Y'all remember him, right? Y'all remember him? Osama? Yeah, we spend a lot of time someplace else when we ought to be getting Osama. Oh, I know I got in trouble when I said that, but it's the truth. It's the truth anyhow. This is what he had to say. Al-Qaeda's true intentions is that Americans live in fear. He's working that, isn't he? You know what I found about people that are frightened? They make dangerous and stupid choices. You can count on it. They'll drive when they ought to fly. They'll buy guns when they ought not be buying guns. And I was sharing, for those who are doctors in the audience, they'll tell the doctor, I want antibiotics, even though it does them no good. Fear. It changes the way we spend money. Changes the way we invest. I never envisioned when I was growing up that I would have a security alarm in my house. There was no such thing. We couldn't afford one anyway. I never even heard of a security alarm. There's not a person on my block that doesn't have a security alarm in their house. Not a one. I'm not sure if it's doing any good, but we think so. Fear will make us buy it. You know, it will even change how we feel toward our fellow citizens. And fear will even make us say, it's okay. I want you to don't miss this. It's okay to take away some of our liberties. Help us, Jesus. We think it's all right. You know, we must be some afraid. We let them take away our liberties. And we say it's okay. Let me share something with you. I shared this in the first service. I've never shared this before. I must be at the end of my ministry when I start talking stuff like this. You know what I fear? What I fear is myself. I never told anybody. I fear myself. I felt like, I know you've never heard a minister tell you, I felt like there were times when I wanted to leave God, leave his church, and never come back. I know you've never felt that way. I know you've never felt that. I felt that way. That I want to leave. I didn't want to hear the church's name again. Then I got afraid. I started thinking about what it would be like without God. And I snapped back. I know that doesn't sound, how could a minister feel that way? So I fear myself. I fear, what if I lost my job? And I couldn't support my family. I didn't have any means. I mean, how would I react? This is me. I'm talking about when things got really tough. I'm talking about in a really tight spot. Somebody knows what I'm talking about, and somebody doesn't. I'm talking about tight. How would I react? See, I worry about that for myself. Fear. And then I read something in Great Controversy about how the devil works. Satan constantly resorts to compulsion and cruelty, and through fear or force, he endeavors to rule the conscience so that he can secure homage to himself. And he accomplished this, listen to this, this is from Great Controversy 591. He accomplishes this through both religious and secular authorities. It's possible to come to church and be lost. That's hard to believe. It's possible to come to church for Jesus and be lost. The devil will take somebody right into church and drive you nuts. You'll leave the church. You know what I'm talking about. And I know that's nothing but the devil.
And then someone answered my sermon.
I fear the world and the things that go around us, and there are many today, and I fear myself. But you know what people fear most of all? People fear God. In your spare time, look at Luke chapter 19. It's a very familiar parable. You don't even have to go there. Some of you already know the nobleman or the man of the house, the owner, left his servants in charge, gave them some goods and said, take care of it. And, you know, here's 10 talents, here's 5, and just multiply them. Just take care of my business. And so he did that. And, you know, the others, they did pretty well. But there was one individual. He took his talents, and guess what he did with them? He hid it. He took that one talent, and he hid it. And when the master came back, he said, I got it. He said, I hid my one talent because I feared you. Read the Bible, Luke chapter 19. Read it. I am afraid of God. People are afraid of God. Some people come into this, and if they haven't been to church for a long time, they are really afraid. That's why we have to be on our best behavior. Because they're really afraid. If they haven't been in a long time, don't know what to make of this place. And they're afraid of God. And that one individual, let me make sure you get this. The worst thing you can do is have a talent but not use it because you're afraid of God. You'd rather do nothing than to share your talents with God. That's exactly what happened in Luke chapter 19. I'll sit on it, then share it. Luke chapter 23. Turn there with me. I just want you to see this as I close. Luke chapter 23. I'll show you what I mean about how people feel about God. Luke chapter 23. And I'll start at verse 19. Quite a scene. Jesus in front of Pilate. A decision is to be made between Jesus and Barabbas. I want you to get how the crowd reacts. The crowd has to make a decision between Jesus and Barabbas. And listen, let me read it, starting in 19. And they cried, they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. And Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. Pilate's trying to help the situation. But they shouted, saying, what, everybody? Crucify him! Crucify him! Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I found no reason for death in him. I'm going to chastise him and just let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with a soft voice. Oh, I was checking to see if you're awake. Demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. There's a book, Desire of Ages, that gives a commentary on this. And it says Jesus had the crown of thorns on his head. He was disrobed. The stripes from the beatings were evident. Blood flowed freely. His face was stained with blood. All the marks of exhaustion and pain were there. But it was at this point that Jesus, he had never appeared so beautiful than when he was standing right there. His visage was not marred. Every feature expressed gentleness and resignation and tender pity for his cruel foes. And it let me know that when Jesus was standing there about to go to the cross, do you think Jesus was afraid? Come on, do you think Jesus was afraid? No way. And that's why I declare that when we go back to Luke chapter 21 and it says, men's hearts will be failing them for fear, that it's not talking about us. Heart failure? I'm not having it. We are not having heart failure when we read our newspaper, because we already know what's going to happen. And we already know. Well, let me help me, Jesus. We know what the end will bring. And we know that the God we serve is not fearful. And if he's not afraid, I'm not afraid. I'm not having heart failure. I don't care how bad it gets. That's for everybody else, not me. Not having heart failure. But I must tell you as I end, there is a very I'm going to be accused of this when I've gone on to someplace else. Somebody will say, Pastor Jones says everything is interesting. So I'll do it again. This is an interesting passage here. Revelation chapter 21. So it's another interesting one. And verses 7 and 8. I'm going to turn there because you have to see this as I close. I've seen it before and you've seen it before, but sometimes we just need to see it again. Revelation chapter 21. 7 and 8. It talks about the overcomers. And then it switches and talks about those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. I was surprised. I've seen it before, but I was surprised what was number one on the list. You know, we would have thought it would have been drinking. A drunkard. We like that. Alright? We don't fall into that category. We'd have been okay if it had said that. But the first thing on the list, what do you think it is? The fearful, the coward, the fearful. Number one of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why do you think that is? Come on, talk to me as I close. Why do you think that is on that list, number one? No faith. Afraid of God. Come on now. See, I can't say that. You done preached the end of my sermon. Come on, Dorothy. Did you hear what she said? Lack of trust. That's the worst thing that you can do, is not to trust God. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? Will you tell me? You don't ever have to be afraid of God. And you can trust God. Do you believe that today? I mean, do you really believe that? Not because I'm saying, do you really trust God? That's all we got. That's all we got. You can't trust the politicians. Lord help us. And you can't trust me without Jesus. Amen? We can't trust ourselves. But you can trust God. Amen. You can put your, that's why we show up here every week. Amen. because we trust God. Oh, let me stop. I might go and preach again. I got to stop. I might get happy, and I'll scare some of you. If I get happy. Isn't God good? Gary, I'm going to trust him right down to the very end. Are you with me? Come on. Are you with me, Don? Are you going to trust him? Come on. Isn't God good? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We see so much in this world that it can scare us. But Lord, we got to keep coming back to you. You're our only hope. The answer is in you. Lord, bless your church. Bless this church. Help this church to have faith. Someone said that, which is trust in you, so that we will not fear though the earth be removed. And when you come again, take us. Take us home with you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you mean to us. In Jesus' name.